This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome aboard on, we're coming off one of the biggest fishing days of the year, Good Friday. Where did that wind come from? Probably caused some of you a little bit of difficulty. But it's been a pretty good week of fishing. Lots of people out there turkey hunting, participating in that birdie-eyed bead season. We'll have some updates on both for you. And I had a good trip last weekend. Headed over to the Navarre Beach Fishing Pier with my buddy the Weave. And had a very successful pompano pier fishing trip. Yeah, can you believe it? You can catch pompano off the pier and many other species. We'll tell you more about that coming up a little bit later on. Also, the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries had a really busy week as far as checking on turkey hunters. 15, count them, a total of 15 individuals have been cited so far for various turkey hunting violations, and that'll fill up our bad boys and girl of the outdoors feature a little bit later on. Well, we got some live reports coming up. We'd like to hear your reports. If you got out and went fishing or hunting, or you got a question or a comment, our text line is open for you at 504-260-1870. And I also have a question for you this morning. Is it Gulf of America or Gulf of Mexico, that big body of water that we're resting up against here that we work, play, and live in? President Trump signed an executive order, 14172, back on January the 20th, and he directed the Interior Secretary to adopt the name Gulf of America. And the U.S. Interior Department did confirm that the U.S. federal agencies will use the name Gulf of America. Now, that order does not compel the use of the name by non-federal agencies, private companies, or foreign entities, or individuals. So if you want to keep the old name, you're certainly welcome to do it. There is one agency that has actually changed its name as a result of that. And it's implemented as a presidential executive order. It's in the United States Geographic Names Information System, Google Maps, federal documents, the USGS, which is the Geological Survey under the Department of the Interior. So it's pretty official, but yet some people just don't want to let it go. They want to keep it Gulf of Mexico. How about you? Do you call it the Gulf of America now or the Gulf of Mexico? That organization, by the way, was previously known as the Gulf of Mexico Fishery Management Council. Well, last week, they met in Gulf Shores, Alabama, and during that meeting, they announced that they will now be doing business as simply the Gulf Council. No Mexico, no America. They got a new logo coming up, and they previewed that designed website, which is also going to be new and scheduled to launch soon. So Gulf of Mexico, not going away easy. What do you think? Text me, 504-260-1870. If you headed out, I took a look at the weather for you. Going to be kind of breezy out there. Southeast winds 10 to 15, both offshore and inshore. 3 to 5 foot seas today, building to 4 to 6 tomorrow, making it pretty, really tough, almost impossible for small boats to get out. Inside, you're going to have to find some clean water, protected areas. Strong tide range today, 1.3 on the tidal range. And the Mississippi River stage, she's a rising, 13.5 and on the mend and on the build. So it's looking like there's going to be a decision have to be made on whether they will open the Bonnie Carey spillway and divert water through. Normally, it's if it reaches 17 on the New Orleans gauge, that's time that triggers the opening. But Corps of Engineers is stepping in, and they're saying that maybe they can change that to maybe wait for a higher rate before it's opened in order to protect marine species. All right, we got a lot to talk about on this Easter weekend. What are you doing? 504-260-1870. Robbie Campo is turkey hunting. He's kind of been on I guess you'd call it a crusade all across the country. We'll track him, and we'll get a report on St. Bernard Parish for you from Glenn Sanchez, former owner of the Breton Sound Marine and a former reporter on this program for many, many years. He's coming up next right after we pause 3 minutes on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. I got to tell you, springtime around Campo's Marine, it's hard to keep up with Robbie Campo. Listen to this lineup. He started off early in the season. He went to Florida. He got an Osceola turkey. Tuesday, this past Tuesday, he was in Mississippi. He bagged a nice adult gobbler. Then he went to Kentucky on Thursday. He got another one there. He's headed, he's in the Midwest this morning hunting turkeys out there. He didn't give me which state. And then he's going to take off from there and be in Missouri tomorrow for a Monday opening day there. Boy, you talk about traveling the country doing the crusade for the turkeys. Well, I'm going to be doing a little traveling myself. Next week I'll be leaving for Tennessee. And then in May I'll be making a trip up to Kansas trying to get some of those beady-eyed birds up there. Well, we keep you advised of the roadways, the waterways, the bait situation, and weather conditions, and anything else you need to know about if you're going fishing down in the St. Bernard Parish area. And Glenn Sanchez, a field reporter with us for many, many years at the Breton Sound Marina, joins us now. And, Glenn, how was the Good Friday fishing yesterday? It looked like it was a little breezy out there.
Yeah, it's been a little breezy, but, I mean, they're still catching fish. That's, you know, I mean, it's amazing how once they have bait, the fishing picks up so much better than when they're fishing with lures. I don't care what they say. You can fish with lures, you can catch fish, but when you fish with bait, you can catch plenty more.
No doubt about it. That's what the fish eat. That's what they live on. And it looks like there's been kind of some good mixed catches. There's some real nice, respectable-sized trout, but there's a lot of sheep's head mixed in and redfish and some drum and even saw a few flounders this week.
Yep. They catching a little bit of everything, and it's just starting to where it looks like it's going to be a great year.
Yes, indeed. What would you suggest if Glenn Sanchez was going out fishing this morning? Where would you head, and what would you bring with you?
Well, it's definitely bring me some live shrimp. It's a little windy right now, and it's supposed to be a little windy. I think it's blowing out the southeast. You know, I mean, I just try and find some cover, fish along the shoreline of the lake, and that give you cover, fish inside the marsh, fish down by the rocks, but try and get inside like Lake Anastasia and stuff like that, and just get behind some islands and just try and, you know, throw that bait out there and watch that caulk go under.
You know, Glenn, if I remember correctly, I believe it was this time of the year, maybe a little bit later when you and I and Jonathan used to fish on the Fish and Game reports on TV, we did the Lalute Drift. And is that something that's going to be probably going to happen pretty soon, if not now?
That's normally more in the wintertime when the water gets real low. I find anyway that when the water gets real low, they come out the marsh and they end up in Lucha. I don't know if the Lucha Drift would work right now because I don't fish that way this time of year. I'm heading like to the outside. And when I say the outside, toward the rocks along the coast, you know, I'm heading that way most of the time.
Yeah.
You know, well, so I don't really fish by a lucha at this time of year.
Yeah, speaking of water, man, I heard they had some pretty low tides when we got that little bit of north wind, that little blast of cold weather we had last week.
Last week it was unbelievable. I came out of my house and I looked across the canal and I was like, look at the bank that's showing. And it's like,
yeah.
I got a crab trap that I normally look at all the time that sticks out of the water. When the water starts to get low, it starts to appear out of the water. Well, the water wasn't even close to the crab trap last week. It was like a wintertime tide.
Yep. Glenn, they had a cleanup, bayou cleanup plan down there that got postponed. Did you get any information on the reschedule of that?
I really don't know anything about that, Don. I don't know if they rescheduled it or not. I never even talked to anybody about that, so I really couldn't give you any information on that.
Well, you've been talking a lot about live shrimp and how important it is, and that's what the fish want. How are they looking? Are they big size for this time of year? And what's
yes,
the
they are, because they white shrimp that were left over from the winter that grew up. So the brownies are probably just showing up right now, and they're going to be small. It's not going to take them long to grow, but the shrimp they have right now are really they nice. They if you don't catch any fish on them, you can go home and eat them.
Absolutely. Glenn, hook and shrimp, couple ways to do it. What do you prefer?
Well, I normally hook them through the right above that black spot on the head, and I use a real small hook. And when I say a small hook, I use a number one kale. So I don't put as big a hold in them as a big hook with a big barb. Or there's times that I'll hook them in the tail. Sometimes they want them different. It's crazy. But if you hook them in the tail, they will definitely live longer and swim more.
Yeah, definitely.
Because, you know.
Yeah, it gives
and,
you.
Go ahead.
I was going to say it gives them a lot more motion if you hook them in the tail. And usually what I do, I'll change over. If I start getting a bunch of heads back with the hook in it, then it's time to go
right
to the tail.
That's exactly right. You know, people don't realize, you know, when a fish hits a shrimp, he's got to hit the shrimp from the back. He can't hit him head on. He's got to fold him up and suck him down. He can't take him head on. He's got those horns, you know. So if you hook him in the head or the tail, you got a shot either way, the top of the mouth or the bottom of the mouth.
There you go. Glenn, what you having for Easter? What's on your Easter menu? You're quite the backyard gourmet. What are you doing? Anything special?
We doing crawfish and crabs, and I don't know if they got a barbecue, but I'm going by Karen's son's house, and the family's going to be there, and we should have a good time. And hopefully the weather's going to be beautiful, and everybody's have a good time.
Yep, I'll be on the crawfish team, too. Glenn, thanks for filling in for Robbie, as always. We really appreciate it, my friend. Hope he gets a turkey, another one, man. He's on a roll, isn't he?
Yes, he is. I told Mike, I asked Mike this morning, I said, do you hunt? He said, no. I said, maybe he might want to start.
Yes, indeed. All right, Glenn, have a good weekend, my friend. Thank you for the report. We appreciate it.
Happy Easter, everybody, and everybody stay safe. Thank
yes,
you, Don.
Indeed. All right. Love Glenn. He always ends his reports with everybody stay safe. All right. It's springtime. Peak of freshwater season is about here, so we got a little extra emphasis on the fishing reports for you freshwater guys and girls. Jeff Brule, he get me a report. I'll have that next for you. And also, we're going to be talking to Captain Josh Sykes of Bent Rods Guide Service up on Toledo Bend, another hot spot this time of the year. Back with those reports and a whole lot more right here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Oh, yeah, the memories of that song. That was the lead-in song for Jeff Brule in our fishing reports for many years. And Jeff sent me a nice little report. He says the catfish run has started over there in the north shore of Lake Pontchartrain rivers. Some blues and flatheads are moving up out of the lake back up into the rivers. He's using cut bait and live bait around cypress trees under a cork, and he's catching 2 to 10 pound catfish. A south pass at Manchac is another spot to get them. Soft shell crabs, which, boy, I sure hate to throw a soft shell crab for a catfish. Anyway, dead shrimp or cut bait on the ledges would be the top producer there. The white perch continuing to spawn, but you got to fish a little deeper for them. He says hit the trees with a drop off and you'll pick up some of those spawners. A tight line jig with a slow fall down. The drop off produced some big white perch for him this week. Bass starting to gang up on the shad spawn. Use topwater baits around bushes, floating vegetation, and laydowns with shad flicking in the covers the place to start. You got to look for those white birds, the herons and egrets. And also, he says, if you see an owl swooping to pick a shad off a lily pad, make a few casts to that area. Striped bass. He hasn't seen or caught one, but the 1st of May is usually when stripers start to show up out in the causeway area to the I-12 bridge in the river. You can look for shad and fish schooling in the middle of the river. Bass will be mixed in with a few stripers, and he says you'll know when you hook one. They pull harder than a bull red. They're hard to land because the logs and the cover in the river, but most of the hookups lead to a break-off when the fish wrap up in the top of a log, but he says it's still fun. He had a big day yesterday. He had 70 Brule cousins went over for Good Friday fish fry yesterday evening, and they were dining on Chifuncta River catfish, bass, perch, and a few trout moved in. We thank Jeff Brule for that freshwater fishing report. Also got another freshwater report coming up live with Josh Sykes, Bent Ride Guide Services in Toledo Bend. We'll be checking in with him just a little bit later on. All right, let me get to our text messages. We thank you for sending in those texts. We got the Backstrap Stacker checking in from Mobile. He said the gobblers over there seem to be henned up in Clark County. Not much action this past week. Hope the wind lays down a little today. Happy Easter. Well, Backstrap Stacker, I had a similar situation last week. I lost a huge bird to, I call him the other woman. When those hens move in and you're trying to work a bird, forget it. The real thing is so much better and appealing, and they'll just walk off and break your heart. All right, we got this one coming in, says very emphatically, it is the Gulf of America. That's in response to our question. Do you call it the new name, Gulf of America, or are you still going to stick with Gulf of Mexico? Here's another one, says it's officially changed to Gulf of America. Since it is, should my insurance premiums drop? Because there's no recorded hurricanes in the Gulf of America the last time I checked. Good luck on that one. And here's one, says, I have a map of the Gulf from 1699. Got to be a reproduced map, huh? Back when, well, it depends on where you're from, how you pronounce this. Iberville, if you're from New Orleans. Iberville, if you're from Baton Rouge. And his little brother, who was named Bienville. They arrived off Ship Island. The text was written in Latin, but the Gulf was referred to then as the Gulf of Mexico. I say, leave it alone. Well, you can do that. You know, I did some research on this, and it was actually first named Gulf of Mexico in 1550, way back. And we got the famous Wingbone from Wilmer, Alabama, checking in. He's not turkey hunting today. He's got yard work. I got that done yesterday. And by the way, Miss Janice received her Wingbone call. She is thrilled. Thank you, Wingbone. All right, here's one from Cody from Grand Bay. He got his first turkey in Kentucky last weekend. Going to try and get his son one this morning in Clark County, Alabama. Congratulations on that Kentucky turkey. And here's one. Happy Easter, y'all. It's a lovely spring morning here in Ohio with the scent of hog manure heavy in the air ahead of planting. Oh, what a wonderful smell. Mr. Don, I hope you caught that Easter flounder for your mama's table. Stay sweet, stay blessed. Thanks for that text all the way up from Ohio. All right, we got more texts. We'll get to those later, but right now we got to take a quick break. We'll be back with those texts and some more of that stuff you and I love to talk about, fishing and turkey hunting in the spring. We'll do it right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, and continuing to keep you abreast of what's going on with the Louisiana Coastal Cooking, those are 13 episodes about Louisiana coastal activities and also some excellent recipes from backyard chefs like myself, but also some professional restaurateurs. And episode 103 will be airing today on WYES-TV out of New Orleans. It airs at 9 a.m. today and at 11 a.m. tomorrow. And that will be Coastal Angling Paddlepalooza, which you hear a lot about on this show. Their excursion will be the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club's Paddlepalooza event. The recipes will be tuna sliders from Chef Ryan Godet at Spars, Escovitch fish with rice and beans, fried plantains and cabbage. That's Jessica Dandridge Smith's recipe from the Water Collaborative. Again, that's Public Broadcast TV producing Louisiana Coastal Cooking. 13 episodes and My episode doesn't come up until June 14th. That'll be episode 111. So catch them all. And they're going to be broadcast nationally. So you might check, if you're not in the New Orleans area, check and Google it, the Louisiana Coastal Cooking, and find out where it's airing near you. All right, we got to pause a quick 10 seconds when we come back and remind you about that ongoing benefit for Captain Mike Helmer and get back to our text questions. Is it Gulf of America or Gulf of Mexico to you? Which is it? 504-260-1870. We'll be back right after we pause a quick 10 seconds for our local stations to tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And I want to thank many of you who have already responded and encourage those of you who have not to participate in the benefit for one Captain Mike Helmer. Back in October of last year, Mike suffered a massive heart attack. It was followed by strokes. His prognosis was not good, but he is recovering, and he and his family need a little help. So some of his fellow captains got together and put together a benefit package where you're going to be giving away a whole bunch of fishing trips for a $25 ticket. You could win a four-person trip with an overnight stay with Captain Phil in Lafitte. Big Dog Charters in Lafitte has a two-person charter. Also two-person charters with Captain Bo Weber out of Delacroix, Captain Lane Zimmer in Delacroix, Captain Sean Thornton in Delacroix, Captain Bart Simo in Delacroix, and also with Dead Reds Unlimited fishing it for two people out of Venice. They also have a Shimano spinning reel, an 85-quart angle ice chest, and a $200 automobile detailing. You can get five for $100. That's $20 a piece. Or if you just want to get one, it's $25. Every little bit helps. You can pay via Venmo, or you can write a check. Go to Hooked on Healing Facebook page. That's Hooked on Healing. And also, there was a special late entry trip. Here's a real opportunity to fish with Major League Fishing's pro, Jimmy Washam. He fishes off Pickwick Lake in Tennessee. He donated two nights stay up there in a two-person charter with him. That drawing's coming up, by the way, May 6th, and we'll announce some of the winners right here on the show. All right, let me get back to our text board. Let's see, where did I leave off? Okay, I got one question that's better reserved for Captain Ryan Lambert, and I'll bring that up to him when we talk to him next hour. Here's the Steel Man. I got to meet the Steel Man in person at the CCA banquet, the North Shore chapter. I love going to those because I get to see a lot of old friends, and I get to meet a lot of you listeners and put a face with a name. And I told the Steel Man, I really, when I envisioned who he was, I did not envision him to be as young a guy as he is, but he's a great guy, and he's got a little report. He hit the trestles over in Pontchartrain last Sunday. Didn't get a lot of fish, but he did catch a nice 21-inch slab trout. He might go looking for bass over in the Chifuncta today, and he wishes us all happy hunting. That's from the Steel Man, one of our regular listeners. Here's another one. Was at Campos this week, fished the Long Rocks. It was slow. The wind limited us to where we could go. That's from one of our Alabama listeners. Here's a suggestion. This is kind of neat. Why not the Gulf of Amerexico, combining the two. All right, here we go. Iberville and Bienville, a.k.a. Pierre and Jean-Baptiste Lemoyne. They were French-Canadian officers in the French Navy who fought the English before heading south. I'm a serious history geek. Ha ha. Oh, good for you. And thank you for providing that little extra info. All right, here's one that says, man, it was great hearing from Jeff Brew. I sure do miss his reporting. Happy Easter and good luck chasing the beady eyes. And here's a couple that just don't want to give it up. Gulf of Mexico forever. And another says, yes, another vote for the Gulf of Mexico. And yet, Captain Robin says, Gulf of America, next question. Yeah, it's an executive order. It's in law. And, it doesn't make individuals or non-federal individuals or private companies use the name. But the U.S. Interior Department has confirmed that all federal agencies will be using it. And you'll see it reflected on the new maps that come out from USGS and also the Department of the Interior. So what do you think? Is it Gulf of America to you or will it be Gulf of Mexico as always? Since 1550, by the way. That's a long time. And there was an organization, I get information and press releases from them regularly. It's the GOM, the Gulf of Mexico Fishery Management Council. This has caused them to change their name. It simply go by the name Gulf Council. No Mexico, no America. They changed it. They changed their logo, and they're also got a new website design they're launching, too. So what will it affect? And somebody wanted to know if it affected any of the laws. You know, since the laws are written for the Gulf of Mexico, do they not apply for the Gulf of America? I say good luck with trying to get away with that. All right, here we go. Record harvest turkey in Louisiana for 2024, 3,695 birds tagged. Now, think part of that record-breaking effort was there's more compliance now. More people are tagging their birds. And there's still a lot of people. Don't kid yourself. They shoot a turkey out in the middle of the wilderness and nobody around. They throw it in the truck. They don't tag and say, I'll save that tag for another bird. So a lot of that goes on. But, yeah, you know, if we got record turkey harvest, let's go back. Move it up back to mid-March when the birds are gobbling, when they can be hunted. Or give us another bird back, something. You know, if that's your measurement of the population and it's successful, do something. All right, we'll be back right after this. We're going to check in with Bent Rods Guide Service, Josh Sykes, get your report on the Toledo Bend area. Nice weather to take a ride up to the Bend, see what you can do up there. He's got some tips and info for you right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, hopefully we will be able to make contact with Josh and get a report up from Toledo Bend. A lot of times these cattle captains, you know, Saturday mornings is a busy, busy time for them, and sometimes they get a little sidetracked when they get curveballs, but hopefully we'll be able to get him and pass that information along. Speaking of that freshwater fishing, there is the Youth Fishing Rodeo going to be held at Bogachita National Wildlife Refuge for kids age 4 to 15. It's coming up on Saturday, June 7th. It'll be at the Jim Schmidt Boardwalk Trailhead. That's off exit 11 off I-59 in Pearl River. This rodeo has been going on, wow, I know it's at least 15 years, maybe longer. And kids show up there. They start at 7:30. They wrap up at 11. They bring their own fishing poles, or they can get fishing poles there. And you do need to be pre-registered. So if you have not done so and you want to bring your child up there and let them get some pretty good fishing in, they stock it and regularly, and there's a lot of species up there. Check it out. It's the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Bogachita is the refuge where it's held. Just look for U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service in Lacombe. There's telephone numbers, there's Facebook and email, and you can get signed up. All right, I think we found Josh. Josh, good morning. So far we've been talking with you about bass and crappie fishing. Hopefully we can add brim to that. What's going on up in the Bend?
Oh, man, not too much. Catching some fish, and the weather's been beautiful, so it's been a good time for us.
A lot of big bass caught this spring?
It has been a lot of big bass. We've had a really good spring with numbers and size. One of our better springs, actually, since probably about 2015. The grass is coming back well this year, and that really helps out the fishing a lot for us.
So somebody coming up there with trophy bass on the mind and nothing else, what do you suggest? What lures do they bring? What type of habitat do they work? And what part, I mean, it's a big area. What part of the lake should they fish?
Well, it seems like every year most of the big fish are caught on the south end of the lake. It's just deeper water. It's got better grass down there, better water clarity, and it's just more fertile down there. And I think a lot of the bigger bass live in that section of the lake around Housen and 6 Mile seems to be where most of the 10-plus pounders are caught. And then the grass, obviously, is where those big fish live. And so, you know, punching grass, throwing big swim baits around grass, dragging a Carolina rig through the grass or a chatterbait or rattle trap, all those produce big fish every single year for us.
And do they still have the free mount, a replica of the fish if you weigh it and release it?
Yes, sir, they sure do. And so they've got weigh stations all over the lake. So if you catch any fish over 10 pounds, you can bring it to a certified scale, get it weighed and measured. You can go back and release the fish, let it swim off perfectly safe and sound, and so somebody else can catch it one day and let it grow. And man, they give you a free replica, and so you ain't got to pay for it or anything, and still have a way to remember that catch.
Very good. Josh, what about the white perch? Y'all still live scoping them on the brush, or has things changed?
Well, they just started showing up good on the brush about a week and a half ago, and it's been fantastic the past week and a half. The fish are moving off the banks. They're kind of more in that post-spawn era, and they're pulling out to our brush piles at the mouth of the spawning pockets. And, man, we've had some of the best days we've had in really a few years. So we're really looking forward to this season. So far, it looks like it's going to be one of our better ones. We've had lots of days this past week catching limits. So, I mean, it's hard to beat that out here on the bend.
Yeah, and y'all have a favorite jig that you use. Talk about it.
We do. So one of our guides, David Cross, he makes his own jig called Cross Crappy Crack Jigs. And they're hair jigs, and they're very, very small. And for some reason on Toledo Bend, those crappie like a very, very small bait. I think there's so many shad and so much bait fish in that lake that they don't have to really expend a lot of energy to really eat much. And so, man, putting a little small bait in front of them, something that's going to entice them, seems to be the key. It's almost as small as a fly, like a 1/32nd ounce jig. And, man, it absolutely catches them. It'll catch a tube jig 5-1 most days.
Got it. Well, so far we haven't mentioned brim, but is it time? Are they starting to show up a little bit now, or is it still too early?
It's a little early for it to get really good, hot, and heavy, but it is time. There are some brim starting to move up and start to spawn. We've seen some signs of that, and you know, we don't brim fish a whole lot, but I look for it a lot on my bass trips, because where there's brim, there's typically going to be some larger bass, and so I have been looking for it. I've seen some new beds up shallow, and it's getting close. It's getting close, and I've got some reports from people that's been catching some big brim up shallow. So that's right around the corner. Typically, early May is the hottest part of the year for that brim season for us.
Right around the corner. Well, safe to say the bend is in its prime or reaching it right now. And, Josh, if somebody wants to get a hold of you guys and book a trip for either bass or the crappie, how do they get you? What's the best way?
Man, they can give me a call on my cell phone at 318-308-5818. They could find us on Facebook at Bent Rods Guide Service and shoot us a message through Facebook, or they can go to our website at www.bentrodsguideservice.com, and they can shoot us an email through that, and we get in contact with them and get a trip set up for them.
All right, you guys make it easy. Thanks for the report, as always, Josh. We appreciate it. You guys have a happy Easter up there on the bend.
Okay, you too. Happy Easter. Thank you.
All righty, Josh Sykes, Bent Rods Guide Service. All right, coming up next, it's Darryl Carpenter. What's going on Easter weekend in Grand Isle? He'll tell you. Up next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. I'd often wonder down on Grand Isle, do they have Easter egg hunts and bury the eggs in the sand? Let's check with Darryl Carpenter. Darryl, do they have Easter egg hunts and bury them in the sand for the kids?
Yeah, they don't exactly bury them in the sand, Don, but yeah, the town puts on especially for the kids, they put on an organized Easter egg hunt every year, and it's, you know, it's a pretty good little time for the kids.
That's great. All right, is it Gulf of America or Gulf of Mexico to Darryl Carpenter?
I just hope I can slow down enough that I worry about it.
Yeah.
You know, for the last, 60 years of my life, I've been calling it Gulf of Mexico, and it's hard to change, you know?
Yeah. Well, whatever. It's in the eyes of the beholder. Well, what's going on down there for the Easter weekend besides a little bit of wind blowing? Has the fishing been good there like a lot of other areas when the winds are down?
Yeah, Don, there's actually a whole lot going on. There's a whole lot of traffic on the island this weekend. So it's typically the start of our summer. And, yeah, whenever the wind slows down, you know, the spring and the summer is starting to progress to where the catches are getting a little bit better. And, you know, it's getting a little bit more predictable. We're still battling a lot of dirty, dirty water. And just it's time to just start learning how to fish dirty water. I mean, you just got to slow it down and pound your areas a little bit harder, because it looks like that's going to be the case for a little while. But I will tell you, though, Don, one of the things that's amazing, and it kind of befuddles me and kind of makes me miss the offshore stuff, is with all these little fronts and stuff we've been having coming through, and a lot of north wind, there's been a lot of people that have been fishing the beach side. You know, we've been having to resort to the beach and the jetties and stuff like that. And, you know, Don, for years when I was in the offshore business, we talked a lot about the spring cobia run and how that typically happens further out into the Gulf and in the canyon and stuff. But my God, the number of cobia that we have running these beaches, and when I say the beach, the close-in rigs, the number of cobia that are being caught right now is just amazing. I mean, they're everywhere.
Yeah, they had one that was caught off the Navarre Beach fishing pier this week, and they show up pretty regular over there. And I got over there and did some pompano fishing, which is always, the pompano's always kind of been a mystery fish. And I'm going to talk more about that trip a little bit later on. But pompano, are there any opportunities for pompano around Grand Isle?
Yeah, Don, as I recall, back when there was a good commercial fishery on it, that was more of a fall, wintertime fish. But this time of the year, especially when people are concentrating on using shrimp, because the croakers just aren't big enough yet, we get usually, I would say, 2 to 3 as a bycatch, just fishing the beach areas for trout. So we have a significant number of pompano running our beach. It's just not a targeted fish. It's probably not that they're not thick enough to be a target fish. But it's not uncommon to catch 2 or 3 on any of your trout trips, especially if you're using shrimp for bait.
You got a good pompano recipe?
I like it fresh, and I like it either baked or on the pit is the best way. You know, they're a little bit of an oily fish. They're kind of in that jack family, I believe, and that's the way I like them.
Yeah, well, Antoine's, a famous New Orleans restaurant, has that famous pompano and papio, where they put it in like a paper, you know, and bake it. I forget what kind of paper they call that. It's a special paper that you can use to cook with. And that's been a world-famous recipe for a long time. But, you know, very few people say, oh, we're going pompano fishing. And I had the opportunity to go with a friend of mine. I call him the Weave, and he's really good at it. And you catch him right off the bridge over there. It's pretty interesting.
Well, if I recall the information correctly, when the Louisiana coast had a decent commercial pompano fishery, it was mostly with hair jigs and mostly in the fall at the close-in rig. And whenever you would, it would be one of those you'd have to hit several, like cobia fishing, you'd have to hit several rigs, but when you found them schooled up, and it was just like sheephead fishing. You just sat there and wore them out.
Well, interesting you mentioned that, because we were fishing off that bridge, and the water's so clear over there, you actually watch for them. And they come in schools, and so do the sheephead. And once you get the hang of it, you can distinguish the sheephead from the pompano, because they appear different in the water, but they travel both the same way. And, yeah, when a school comes in on that pier, man, it's organized chaos. It's a great fish, though, great fish. Parchment paper, that's the name of that stuff, parchment.
Yeah, you know, that's the definition of fishing, though. It's hours of boredom for moments of chaos.
Yeah, exactly. Darryl, somebody wants to have some chaos with you, tell them how to get you.
Well, they can find me at DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com, where they have all the information about your show and all of our guys. RealScreamers.com is our website, or just pick up the phone at 225-937-6288.
All right, Darryl, y'all have a happy Easter down there, and we'll catch up with you next week.
You too, John. Safe travels, man.
All righty. Darryl Carpenter, RealScreamers.com. All right, coming up next hour, Angling Adventures of Louisiana. Got to chat with Mike Gallo at the CCA banquet. We're also going to hear from Captain Eric with a paddler's report, Ryan Lambert from the tip of the boot. And also, we've got 15 bad boys and one girl of the outdoors busted for turkey violations this past couple of weeks. Back with all of that in hour number two of the Outdoors with Don Dubuque.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Radio Network. And on this Easter weekend, we've got some fishing reports upcoming for you, along with some other information to pass along. We're also talking about the renaming of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. It was officially done by executive order. All federal agencies will be referring to it as the Gulf of America. And although it's up to the individual, and if you're a private business or individual or a foreign country, you can refer to it as anything you like. And here's some of the comments. One says, it's Gulf of Mexico. Ridiculous. Another says, Mexico is part of America. It is the Gulf of America. And yet another says, I always just called it the Gulf, the Gulf. And then we have this one says, since this name change is a result of executive order, will it be named something else by another president? Well, it certainly could. Is it a good new name or was just another waste of taxpayer money? From the shores of America, that's in Acadiana, that's from our friend the Lafayette Yacker. This one says, geographic names are definitely influenced by politics. 30 years ago, I did 3 months in the Persian Gulf. In official Department of Defense circles, it was referred to as the Arabian Gulf, in accordance with the Western Gulf states, like the UAE, since calling it Persian would imply ownership by Iran. Politics, huh? Yeah, I guess so. And here's one says, how about 81 stars on the flag of the nation of Amorexico? Ergo, Gulf of Amorexico. The times are changing. 81 stars? Where? Well, how you count for 81? I'm missing something there. Here's one says, when people of all the nations with a shoreline in the Gulf give it a name, that's its name. It's official only in the mind of one man and those who fear him. Another says, does it really matter? It's the Gulf. Yeah, how important is it, you know? Here's one, parchment paper with a question mark. That's J.R. Coach. Yeah, parchment paper is stuff that you cook the pompano in papillote. And we just got that in from... old man Sam, he gave us the name. That's a famous recipe. Antoine's, I think, was the one that invented it. But Emerald's got one. Everybody's got their slant on it. And my friend the Weave's got a pretty simple, different pompano recipe that we have yet to try, but we'll be doing that. The Weave just texted me. He says the pompano bite is still on, but slowed down a little bit day to day. Last day fishing. Wish me luck. Good luck to the Weave. He's been out there all week working on that pier, and it's kind of almost a cult-like group that fishes out there, and you'll see this on an upcoming episode of our Bayou Wild TV. And one of the things that the Weave pointed out was, if you want to learn how to fish these pompano, it's a specialty-type tactic and technique. You learn from the people on the bridge. Watch the ones that know what they're doing. He's one, and he's gotten to know some of the other guys. One guy was a commercial recreational fisherman. And the basic thing is you use what he calls the wacky jig. He ties his own jigs. But whatever bait you use, and they also use those sand fleas, which is a little mole crab if you want to use live or dead bait. And the experienced fishermen line up kind of where the sandbar is, because that's what those schools are pumping over. They come working along the edge of that sandbar. And as I was told, they do not come under the bridge. They will not go under that bridge. They make a turn. And when you see the school coming, you got to be ready. And you got to be an accurate distance caster. Get it out there to them. And then there's some specialty equipment you need, like a net with a long line on it, because the pier is pretty high off the water. And if you try to reel the fish up, you risk losing it pretty easily. But you swim it over the net. Your assistant, your net person, pulls it up. And there's your pompano. But there were some other fish caught, some nice, respectable size whiting. There was some redfish we saw, sharks. There was one cobia that was caught, I think, yesterday or the day before. And so it's a great place, and it's a bargain. $7 regular price. If you're a veteran or senior, you get a little bit of a discount. And that includes any licensing you need. That's a whole day fishing on the pier. access to the pier, and no license required. Great little operation. Beautiful place, by the way. Nice beach, and scenery's good. Water's beautiful there. All right, we got some more texts coming in. When we get some time, I'll get back to those. Please continue to text us at 504-260-1870. We love to hear from you. I'll be right back with Captain Mike Gallo's Born on the Bayou Fishing Report here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And I got to see him Thursday night at the CCA North Shore Banquet over the Pelican Park area at the Castine Center. Captain Mike joins us now, and Mike, boy, that was quite an event there. I saw a lot of people I hadn't seen in quite a while. Those things are always fun to go to. And you auctioned off one of your trips. Somebody's going to be a lucky, successful buyer.
Yeah, Don, I've been a supporter of CCA for many years. And I guess you could say they've supported me for many years.
So yes, they have.
It's a working relationship. You get to see all people in our industry. So it's a good time, and it's not too far from home. I can still make it home in time to function the next day if I'm fishing.
You know, CETO has been the presenting sponsor for your feature for a number of years now, and they're great. You know, they give you fuel drops, come get you 24/7, jumpstart you for electrical problems, whatever they need to get you back safely, they do it. And you can sign up at CETO.com, or you can call Captain Chris at 504-301-4545. And, Mike, in your case, you are not only a CETO customer, but you actually fished with Mr. CETO in the boat, so you were really well covered last week, huh?
That's true. During April, when the fishing is really close by and his phone is working because he's a busy man, we'll slip off sometimes and fish. He brings his wife, Colleen. She's a wonderful lady. And we enjoy each other. We've been friends for over 15 years. I've been a member for over 15 years. And, you know, we've gotten to know each other. Fortunately, he's only had to come get me one time. But that's the way CETO works. It's peace of mind. You get to go and enjoy the day on the water and not have to worry if something were to happen.
You know, he's a good fisherman, too, and I'm wondering if, because he goes and picks up people, he finds out their spots when they're stuck in their fishing spot, and he learns all those spots, and maybe he's taking advantage of that, huh?
Well, the only time that he had to come get me, you know, he seemed to be pretty excited to figure out where I was. So I would believe that's accurate.
Mike, you had some pretty good trout trips recently. Tell us about them. Where were they? How'd you fish them? And what kind of bait were you using?
Well, the Texans came in, and we had very little wind early in the week, Sunday, Monday time frame. And to stay away from the marsh where the gnats may get us, we elected to do some trout fishing. And we fished top water. And then when that bite died down, we fished some subsurface stick baits, Rapala, Husky, Jerks. Berkeley has some stick baits. They're long and skinny, like a long A, mm-hmm. and they dive only about 2 feet down. And you just kind of rip it a couple of times and then pause, and those trout really love it. Those guys limited both days, had quite a few fish over 18 inches. It was a good trip, a really good trip. The Texans generally love redfish, but when the trout are that big, they don't mind catching them.
Yep. Now, you also had a group, Mission 22, and, you know, honoring Captain Sam Barbera, which if you people watch Bayou Wild episode, it's airing this week, the tribute we did to Captain Sam Barbera, really unique guy, good friend of yours, and now that you're working with Mission 22, tell us how that turned out.
Well, the same two guys that were on our initial Sam Barbera Mission 22 trip 3 years ago have continued to be the highest bidder on that auctioned-off trip. That's Donnie Jenkins and Kenny Adams. And this year they brought two friends along with them. We made over a $2,500 donation to Mission 22 that will go on to support our veterans in need. And we do it every year on Sam's birthday, which was April 17th, this Thursday. So it worked out really well. We had a good time. We caught a good number of fish right in Lake Pontchartrain. We had about 50 trout. We had some black drum. We had quite a few freshwater catfish.
Yep, very good trip. Tell them a little bit more about Mission 22, the purpose of Mission 22, what it actually accomplishes.
Mission 22 is a nonprofit organization that supports our veterans in need. If a veteran needs any type of psychological help, help with housing, help with medical, they step in and help as best they can, direct them in the right direction, or provide resources for that veteran.
Very good organization, and thanks to you for your contributions to it. And it always brings up, always have good memories of old Captain Sam Barbaro when he worked with CCA. He worked for Louisiana Sportsman. He was one of the really good guys, had his captain's license, and he loved to fish those speckled trout. Always had some funny things to say, too.
Oh, yeah, Sam was quite the fisherman, a very good fisherman, and fun to be around. You never knew what was going to happen, so there was an entertainment value as well.
Well, Mike, if somebody wants to get in on some of this springtime and upcoming summer trips, I know your calendar's getting booked, but you got lots of guides that you can hook them up with and take large groups. You got the Spots and Dots Lake House Lodge. They can see all of that on your website, which you can get to from my website, DonTheOutdoorsGuide.com. But if they want to go direct or call you, give them the info.
Very simple. You can find me at AAofLA.com. We're on social media at Angling Adventures of Louisiana, or reach me by phone, 985-781-7811.
And what does Miss Jacqueline have planned for your Easter holiday?
We are going to go to my mother's house and have some lasagna. My mother's been planning on lasagna and some stuffed bell peppers, so it's going to be a festive day visiting with my mother.
Boy, that sounds like a great meal. In fact, I think I may have had some when we had a little celebration at your place one time.
My mother certainly knows how to cook. You can tell my mom.
All right. There he goes, Captain Mike Gallo. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it as always. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, Don. We'll talk to you next week.
There he goes, Captain Mike Gallo, Angling Adventures of Louisiana. I call him the forensic fisherman, man. He's always in deep thought about why this and how that. All right, coming back after this, you like to paddle for your fish? Well, I saw some guys kayaking over there at Navarre Beach, and they were working that sandbar pretty good. That's another way to fish it besides the bridge. We'll talk to Captain Eric and find out about some local opportunities coming up. They got a big tournament coming up. It'll be next week. We'll get him to give you some details and some fishing tips right after this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And it's time for our Paddler's Report, brought to you by No Wake Outfitters, 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie, where they still have plenty of clearance items left from their tent sale, and that's just in time for the spring breakers. Now, next Saturday, April 26th, No Wake Outfitters will be having their monthly fly tying class. It's open for beginners and experienced tires. It starts at 10:30 next Saturday. They're also going to be doing some beginner patterns as well as some intermediate ones. So call for more information about any of it, 504-766-8997. That's 766-8997. Or find them on Facebook, No Wake Outfitters on Airline Drive in Metairie. Captain Eric Mahabarak joins us, and the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club's Paddle Palooza, the original kayak tournament, it's upon us. It's next week. How's the sign-ups going, Eric?
From what I understand, the last I've seen, and most probably is more by now, it was 74 people signed up. So looks like it's going to be a decent crowd this year, and motors are allowed for that. So it is definitely a tournament going on, and it's three fish you need to catch, a redfish, a speckled trout, and a flounder.
So and this is going to be a traditional weigh-in. It's not a catch photo release, correct?
Yeah, it's a real fishing tournament. It's no catch photo and release. It's definitely a real fishing tournament where you bring your own fish in and everything, and they're going to fry them up later. It's going to be a good time, as usual.
And where will it be held?
At Bridgeside Marina.
Grand
where
Isle.
It's been held at Grand Isle for the last, I can't remember how many years it's been going on there now, but it's been quite a while.
Yeah, bckfc.org, and you can get some more information. Where have you been fishing, or have you, with all this wind? It's not easy for kayakers.
You know, you got to kind of take your days and pick them carefully, you know, with the wind. You know, and actually, it's been the windiest it's ever been if you look up on the history of wind. Someone sent me that the other day, which I thought was interesting. But that's just something to throw out there. But, you know, like Pontchartrain has been doing really well. The south side of the bridges, because you're in a kayak, you have to, you know, watch yourself in an open water out there. But they've been catching speckled trout, redfish, and flounder. Also, they've been doing some bank fishing right there by the bridges that I noticed. And some guys have been picking up on some redfish right there. So if you can't get out in the boat, it might be a good spot to go to. Also, right there, Lena Lagoon, the dam right there, they've been catching some fish. Some reds more in the Lena Lagoon area, some speckled trout, some white trout. Right there by the wall. So things are doing well there.
You got some intel on Alabama for us?
Oh, I do, Don. You know, this is the time of year, April comes up, and that's when them big trout get up in that little lagoon area back there. I have heard of a 27 being caught, and I kind of know this is true because I know how he fishes. He caught it on a white beetle, old sparkle beetle, but a white beetle trolling it behind the kayak. 27 inches. They've also caught some 20, 25s. And it is possible to catch some 30-inch fish up in there. It's a good area to go. It's a little different. It opens up into the Gulf of Mexico right there. So it's a little different area to fish than the areas we have here.
Yeah, it goes right into the Gulf of America, or Amerikexico, as they call it. Little Lagoon.
Amerikexico, yes, that's what we need to call it.
Little Lagoon, what's the best place to launch to get into it?
Well, any way you can put in it. You know, I'm privileged. I'm fortunate enough to have a friend who lives right there, so I just launch out his back door. There is a place you can launch when you get on Gulf Shores right there and take a right after the Oyster House. And right by the bridge there, there's like a boat launch, a little parking area. You can launch there and start hitting the shorelines. I like to go north. So, you know, that's where I head first if I'm going to launch there.
I tell you what, you can get a great meal at that Oyster House. I've been there several times. Great food.
Yeah, you can. That's for sure. You know, I ain't missing no meals.
No. By the way, what you got on your Easter menu?
On the Easter menu, I think I'm just going to fry some of these catfish I got in the freezer and keep it simple instead of killing myself. I helped out with a friend of mine yesterday. I did about 400 pounds of crawfish, and that was more than enough work for me.
Yeah, you have to get our buddy the Weave to take you out there pompano fishing, man. We had a good time out there.
Man, I know y'all did. I got issues with the pier. I'd rather be in the kayak, you know.
Well, you can do that too. They had some kayakers working around out there.
I know. We've caught some big fish right around that pier, actually. Well, we don't fish by the pier. We get away from the pier to give people their room.
But, so you don't get hit in the head with a sinker either.
A cobia jig. Yeah, one of the Weaves cobia jigs. Exactly.
Right.
You know, but Don, we've caught king mackerel. We've caught cobia. You know, I caught a snapper a little bit further out, but still caught great fish there. Won a tournament with that snapper. You know, and that area is really an interesting area. That Navarre, Pensacola area is good places to fish. It's easy to do it. Just pick your days, weigh your life vest, and be safe out there if you're
going
to go.
You know, we got a lot of things here in Louisiana going for us, but one thing we don't have is a short distance to blue water species or even offshore species close in. You know, our shallow waters, it takes you a while to get out there. You need to be towed where places like Florida and Gulf Shores and Orange Beach, it's right there. You're in it.
Yep, exactly. You know, and people think I'm crazy when I tell them I catch a snapper out of the kayak, and I show them pictures, and they're like, no kidding. You know, they got these big boats and everything, and it's just an easy access area to go, and who knows what you can catch out there, really.
We need to get a trip together, Eric. It's been a long time, so we need to schedule something, my friend.
All right, cool. We'll set it up. We'll figure out something. Let's do something different, though, this time. We're going to do something a little off the wall.
I'm all for it. Thank you, Eric. See you next time, buddy.
All right, Don, have a great day, man. Love you guys. Bye.
Happy Easter. There he goes, Captain Eric Muharrak. He's also the winner of the Captain Quint lookalike contest, and I encouraged him to get in it, and he did. In fact, I think he won it where I was fishing over there in Navarre Beach. I have to ask him next time. All right, we come back after this, Bad Boy and One Girl time. Boy, a lot of people. It's a busy turkey season for the Department of Wildlife and Fishery agents. We'll tell you who they found and what their charges were right after we pause this 3 minutes for our local stations to identify themselves. We'll be doing that right after this quick break. Stick around. Oh, you know what happens every year? A lot of turkey violations, and the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries a pretty good job of rounding up and citing some of these folks. We'll tell you who they are and what their alleged crimes are, but first we pause 10 seconds for our local stations to identify themselves on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, all across the state of Louisiana, Department of Wildlife and Fisheries agents have been busy writing citations for a variety of turkey hunting violations, and if convicted, facing up to thousands of dollars in criminal fines and civil restitution, and possible jail time include 58-year-old Jeffrey K. Hudnall of Jonesville. He got in early and often, you might say. He was in possession of three gobblers on March 21st. That was before the season even started. He was also trespassing in Catahoula Parish. Also during the youth season on March 29th, 47-year-old Chad Alston of Pollock was cited for hunting turkeys over a baited area and contributing to the delinquency of the juvenile he brought. And that is not something a judge likes to see. Then they cited 13 people for alleged turkey hunting violations on the opening weekend. On the 5th of April, Preston Thompson, 46 years old, of Baton Rouge, for hunting turkeys over a baited area, hunting turkeys without a license, and without turkey tags in St. Helena Parish. Then in Tangipahoa Parish, 47-year-old James Puckett of Kentwood was cited for hunting turkeys over bait, 57-year-old Sam Campo of Homa for failing to tag a turkey. 66-year-old William D. Coker of Glenmora was hunting turkeys over a baited area in Rapides Parish, cited for possession of illegally taken turkey and failing to tag a turkey in Rapides Parish was 49-year-old Joshua C. Johnson, also of Glenmora. And then appropriately named 30-year-old Shady Johnson, also of Glenmora, was hunting turkeys without tags and in possession. James Lensing, 38 years old, Lake Providence, was cited for hunting turkeys over bait in Morehouse Parish. Back in Morehouse Parish, Michael Chain, 42 years old, from Bastrop, hunting over bait. Also hunting over bait in Ouachita Parish was 39-year-old Keegan Lewis of West Monroe. And for Morehouse Parish from Bastrop, 71-year-old, he's the oldest of our bad boys, Donnie Goldman, for hunting turkeys over bait. 26-year-old Michael Anderson of Ruston, he was hunting turkeys under a hunting license revocation in Lincoln Parish. Then the next day, on April 6th, 60-year-old John Cook of Hindston for discharging a firearm from a public roadway, hunting from a moving vehicle. How do you shoot a turkey from a moving, I guess that's a drive-by, and failing to tag a turkey in Rapides Parish. 57-year-old Harold S. Hode of Otis, possessing an illegally taken turkey. And finally, on April 12th, agents cited our one bad girl, Ashley Bass, 45 years of age, of Lake Charles, and 66-year-old Charles Bass of Pitkin, both hunting turkeys over bait, our bad boys and girl of the outdoors. Ooh, that's a busy schedule. I wonder how many more they're going to get before the season ends. Yeah, certainly turkey violations, one of the more prevalent ones that take place. All right, when we come back after this, you know the old saying, where is Elmo? Where is Ryan? We never know where the Plastic Man is, but we intend to find out right after this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And we have located the Plastic Man. He is in Luling, Louisiana, the area that raises the most money at CCA banquets. I learned that this week. And Captain Ryan is right there in the middle of it. Ryan, I got a question. Somebody wanted to know, they went fishing in the Bay Adams area and Port Sulphur, and they had a lot of dirty water. They were wondering if the dirty water was the wind-driven water or the river water being high affecting it too.
Well, you got two things right now. I fished over there day before yesterday, and I did find clean water, but when you got a southeast wind, it's blowing all the river water from Southwest Pass, Tiger Pass, Red Pass, and the incoming tide all blowing in there, so that's why it was dirty. You know, it's 13.9 today, and next it'll come up 2.5 feet this week, and then crest next Sunday and start falling. So, you know, it's just something we deal with. I mean, it's going to be blowing and raining all week anyhow.
Yeah, true.
And the ironic thing about it is you have tons of water going through the diversions on the east side, and because there's a south and southeast wind, you can fish over there, because anytime you get a wind blowing from the same way like this, it makes the waters go in lines, and then on the other side, the points is great water, and it's so easy. I mean, that's where we're catching all our fish right now. I fished the west the day before yesterday, me and Terry, and everybody else went east and did really well. So, yeah, we're still catching them. You know, in fact, the south wind is better on that side anyhow.
Yeah, I saw Cody had a nice box of big trout. Was he fishing the east or west side?
East side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're nice trout. I mean,
yes,
I caught a bunch of nice, but I didn't get to limit out because it just was it started blowing too hard and messed up my water. But yeah, we had some really nice ones too. I mean, the trout are just nice right now. They really are. You know, all the way to the islands. So it's gonna be a heck of a summer. You know, next month we'll start fishing, you know, further away from the bank, and it ought to be good. But in Dennis, too, they're just crushing the nice trout right now down there.
Yeah.
And all the way to Southwest Pass. I mean, just wherever the wind blows, you find good water, and, you know, you'll be able to fish. It congregates the fish a little better, actually.
Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be some really big hammers turned in at that faux pas if it continues the way it's been going. You know, when that listener brought up Bay Adams, does Bay Adams even exist anymore from all the erosion down there? It used to be a pretty, you know, confined body of water down there.
Oh no! There's nothing combined from Venice right. All the way to, I guess, almost Port Sulphur now. There's, you know, all the way to Bay Baptiste before you get a real bay again. You know, everything else is gone. In fact, they took the names off of 31 places.
I don't know that. That was sad. I mean, that was sad. Removing names.
Yeah, it's only getting worse. It's going that way too. It's heading towards Grand Isle and all through towards Belle Chasse and all. That's all deteriorating really bad. So. And now they stopped the diversion, so it's better move.
Well, they're supposed to have some better plan, you know, one that's more efficient and doesn't harm the marine life, and I'm yet to see it, but right. I hope they're right, know what they're doing.
I don't think they're going to do anything, actually. I think they're just going to do away with it after we spent $550 million on it already. They think they'll kill it.
Ouch.
I don't know what they can do, but I got Davis Pond open right now. It's helping to get that saltwater disarmament in Bayou Gauche and all our areas, so we might have ducks and some protection again on this end. But you take and kill a project like that, it's just field politics, unfortunately.
Yeah. So what's on the Easter plans for the Lambert household?
Well, I think we're going to go to Lafayette tomorrow and go to my sister's house. And I don't know if we have crawfish or what we're going to have, but I was invited to 2 or 3 crawfish boils yesterday. I didn't go because I know I was going to have them tomorrow. And I started off yesterday morning with tuna fish and shrimp salad, and then fried shrimp for lunch, and then crawfish, crab, and shrimp crepes for dinner. So I'm seafooded out.
Hey, I got to catch some pompano last weekend. You do any pompano fishing?
That. No, but when we'll catch them, we'll go to the rigs in the wintertime and do well with little bitty jigs.
Yeah.
But I don't get to do it too often. Did you catch them along the beach?
Yeah, we caught them off a pier.
Yeah, they'll get like that off of Breton. Were you fishing the ghost shrimp or something?
It's called a wacky jig. It's a regular jig, but then it has a little hair jig, a separate one that slides up and down the line. It's actually two baits, and they hit the one that slides. They think it's one of those sand fleas. Or you can put a sand flea on it, or you can just fish the sand fleas. A lot of people just do that.
Do they catch many of them? Do you see other people catch them?
Yeah, Yeah, they catch plenty. In fact, there's a couple of commercial guys that fish off the bridge, you know, and they catch enough to sell them. They got a special license that allows them to keep more. But, yeah, and right now is pretty much what they consider prime time for them over there. But it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of chaos in this. A lot of rules and regulations for fishing. You can only fish with one rod at a time. You can bring more, but you can only fish
and catch them, too.
Yeah, you know, people tell me that, but it just doesn't seem like there's much consistency. And the people who do catch pompano at Breton consistently, they don't tell you nothing, man. They don't want to talk.
Oh, no, nobody's going to say nothing, but the commercial guys go out there and net them.
Yeah.
You know, in the summertime. So sometimes they can make a big haul, but you say you can see them jumping in your wake in the back, so that's how you know that they're there.
Yeah, it's a valuable fish for sure. Well, Ryan, somebody wants to get you when you get back after Easter. Always best way is you can get you on the website at CajunFishingAdventures.com, but the phone number, you always grab that phone.
Always, 504-559-5111. And yes, it's booking up pretty good. We're going to have a good year.
Sounds good. Thank you for the report. Enjoy your crawfish ball or whatever you guys do, and we'll see you next week.
All right, it's Tori's birthday today, so we wish her a happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Tori.
We'll see you soon. Have a happy Easter.
All righty. All right, we come back after this. I'm going to wrap it up with some of your text messages that are coming in. We had a little bit of fun with this Gulf of Mexico, Gulf of America thing. We'll get to some of those texts and a whole lot more of what you and I love to talk about. Somebody wants to know when the Navarre Beach Pier episode will air. I am not sure. I will announce it when it does. So just keep on listening, and we will let you know. We're back right after this to wrap it up on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, let's see how many of these text messages we can get in. This one said, this is an answer to someone wanted to say we had a new flag with 81 stars. And that is because Mexico, and I didn't know this, has 31 states. So you add that to 50, 81. But then what do you do with Canada and Greenland? I guess it'd have to be 83 stars. All right, we got a happy Easter and a good morning from Jason and the crew over at Corey's Barbershop. Well, I just was over there recently. I have to get back soon. All right, and this one says, the reason Trump changed the name was to overrule Joe Biden's oil drilling policies on the Gulf of Mexico. And I don't believe that. I don't think any regulations that I can find have changed because of the name change. Here's one says, love the sound of Gulf of America from the big man Bassin. And we got someone that says, let's just call it the Caribbean Gulf. This whole affair is beyond absurd, but it makes me laugh. And another one wants to know if it's changed any offshore, state, federal, or international laws. No, as far as I know, it has not. And let's see, we got someone says, my son and I are going to fish Bayou B to go sockeye fishing. Happy Easter. That's from the Fishing Freak 504. Which B? There's a lot of bayous out there. Give me a little more specific on the Bayou B. Here's one says, I think your show should have a rebroadcast Saturday night, 7 to 9. That's helpful for those who can't always catch a show on Saturday mornings. Well, our studio engineer, Cullen Steele, he creates a podcast immediately. In fact, it's up almost immediately after the show, and you can check it out anytime. If you go to my website, there's a link there for it. Rather than give out the address on there, just go to DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com, and you can link up to hear it each and every week if you like. Here's one that says, crawfish balls are great, unless you're a crawfish. The last few hours aren't exactly fun with the salt bath and the boiling water. Over 2 billion crawfish are harvested in Louisiana. I'd love to set up a petition stand at a crawfish festival with a hidden camera to stop the crawfish genocide. We could bring in Greta Thunberg. That would be so hilarious. Well, I don't think you'd get a lot of support for that. Now, there's a lot of crawfish lovers out there, but not the way that generally you think of that. The Baldwin County teacher wishing everyone a happy Easter. Back to you. And we got Deb listening to us in Florida. I think you meant, where's Waldo? Yeah, that's right. It's not Elmo. Elmo's the red puppet on Sesame Street, and we know where he is. That's right. Where's Waldo? And someone wants to know, when will the Navarre episode air? That's on the Pompano Fishing. I'll have to let you know, because at this time, I can't tell you. We're hearing from my friend David Hubble over in Mobile. Glad to hear from him. Happy Easter. He's the Melaton man. And this one says, why do these guys say they head out to the rigs? Those are production platforms if they don't have a derrick. Semantics, you know, so much of it. All right, well, that's going to wrap up our text board. Thanks to all of you. Again, I want to remind you, coming up at 9 a.m. this morning, if you can pick up WYES-TV or one of the many public broadcasting stations that are airing the 13 episodes of Louisiana Coastal Cooking, it's Paddlepalooza is going to be featured. We're talking with Captain Eric. That's the first and largest of the kayak tournaments put on by the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club. And you'll see some of that It's called Coastal Angling Paddlepalooza, and they're going to be preparing some tuna sliders from Captain Ryan Godet. I'm sorry, Chef Ryan Godet at Spars. Escovitch fish with rice and beans, fried plantain. Well, it's been a while since I've had any plantains. Anybody got a good plantain recipe besides fried? Send that to me. Also, cabbage. That's prepared by Jessica Dandridge Smith from the Water Collaborative Restaurant. So, great episode. Next week, you'll get to see cook-off for the coast with the white beans and shrimp, smoked hog sandwiches, and my friend Chef John Foltz and Chef Chris Anderson from Restaurant Revolution will be preparing cochon de lait, and that's a good one, too. You can catch out all those 13 episodes. I would suggest researching public broadcast or Louisiana Coastal Cooking if you cannot pick up WYES. There are many, many stations all over the nation that will be airing those features and sharing the good and wonderful news about our precious resources here. All right, we got this one says, Waldo, they found Waldo. He's in El Salvador. He got deported. Oh, this audience, you got to love them. Got some good hits come in here. All right, well, we'll be back again to do this again next week. We do it each and every Saturday morning. And then after that, I got a couple of beady-eyed bird trips to match up with. The beady-eyed bird beat me this week. He won, but he didn't win last week. And I'm going to be making a trip to Tennessee with my old buddy Tennessee Steve. And then the following couple weeks after that, I'll be headed up to Palco, Kansas to visit my daughter, Cherie. A lot of you know Cherie. She's been on the air with me many times. She's moving up there into pheasant and quail and turkey country, deer country, and I'll be joining them up there for a beady-eyed bird trip. So it's going to be a busy spring. Got some more fishing planned, and hope you do too, and share it with us each and every week. We come here to do this, help you get some tips from the professionals we have on board and from some of our listeners too. We'd love to hear from you. And we'll be back again next week, 5 to 7 a.m. Thanks to Cullen, our engineer, and thanks to you for listening to the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.